If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Phil Vitale's the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. Hi, Phil. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm good.
All right. I'm glad to hear it. Phil, I have a few questions for you about the restaurant scene. You've got a review of a restaurant in Aurora. You also pointed out to producer Elif that there's a conversation in this very Catholic city on Ash Wednesday about whether or not Impossible Burgers that don't use real meat should be included in or exempt from the don't eat meat during Lent on Wednesday, Good Friday, and Fridays.
Yep.
Are you Catholic, sir?
Yes, I was raised Catholic.
Archdiocese of Chicago disapproves of plant-based meat during Lent. This is a headline screaming at me in front of me right now from WGN-TV. I'm a spokesperson for the Archdiocese of Chicago said you risk losing the whole spirit and meaning of abstaining from meat if you go the fake meat route. I don't know if this is a question for the religion reporter or the Phil Vitale, but what do you think about this, Phil?
Well, I think it's a very interesting debate. This is a story that was written by my colleague, Alexia Elhalde Ruiz, at the paper, and talking about the plant-based meat burgers. Obviously, it's plant-based. There's no meat in an Impossible Burger, although people say if it's cooked on the same grill as the regular patties, maybe the little meat shows up there. But we're talking about, I think for some people, spiritually, this is kind of like a loophole. If you're kind of enjoying meat the way you're traditionally enjoying it, does it really, are you really, the whole idea behind the Meatless Friday, and I speak as someone who grew up in the old days when being a Catholic meant no meat during Lent, period. I mean, I'm sorry, and no meat Fridays all year round, not just the 40, you know, just the six ones during Lent. But the idea is to do without something, and in so doing, reflect on, the larger religious issue here, referring to Lent and then moving into Good Friday.
Makes you think about sacrifice.
Right. And the Venetian Carnivale, with the masks, and it's their Mardi Gras when they're getting ready. It comes from carne meat and vale farewell. So carnival means farewell to meat.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and so that was kind of the whole idea. And now we're talking about coastal areas in which fish is cheap and abundant and not particularly given high value, and meat was very expensive and a bit of a treat, and giving it up meant you're really giving it up something. And now these days you have people saying, well, I'm giving up meat past the lobster tail. And so perhaps they've lost a little sight of the idea of sacrifice in their heads when they just go with something really an expensive seafood.
Well, you and Mary are making me think about this a little differently, though. I mean, at first blush, I scoff at the whole idea, but I think you're right. If the intent is to reflect and to sacrifice, then what we're giving up is burgers, for instance, regardless of what's inside it, because that's the sacrifice. And if we come up with a fake meat substitute, well, then are you really sacrificing? So maybe there's something to this.
The faithful and the not quite as faithful as they ought to be faithful come up with these little bits of rationalizations, of loopholes, if you will, I think what the Archdiocese is probably trying to say is try to be more mindful about what all this is, what the idea is behind giving up meat, and instead of looking for ways of giving up meat by doing without, the least painful way possible.
Exactly, the least painful way possible. And I know there has been a trend in the last few years of, rather than thinking about the things I'm going to give up, rather think about the things I'm going to do, be more proactive with your Lenten commitments. So, all right, maybe you're going to give up sugar or alcohol or whatever, but how about if instead of that, I mean, heck, that just makes you feel good about you because now you're healthier. Why don't we do something that's good for somebody else?
And there you go.
That's another way to approach it, which kind of skirts the whole issue, but maybe that's not a bad idea. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Phil Vitale also wrote about a restaurant in Aurora. What's the one that you are reviewing in Aurora, Phil?
It is called Stolp Island Social, and there really is a Stolp Island in downtown Aurora. It's about a four-block-long, two-block-wide stretch of land in the middle of the Fox River, and that's where the Paramount Arts Theater is, and that's where the casino is. And Amy Morton, who's best known for her two restaurants in Evanston and also being the daughter of the legendary Arnie Morton, opened a restaurant right next door to the Paramount Theater called Stolp Island Social.
How's it doing? What do you think? What, I presume it's American food?
It's American food. I mean, you can tell by what the this is one of those things in which the location almost dictates the kind of food and kind of restaurant it's going to be. It's right next door to the Paramount Arts Theater. Paramount Arts Theater is one of the best attended theaters in Illinois.
And is beautiful, by the way.
Right. Huge subscription list. People come in. When those matinees are playing on Wednesdays and Saturdays, literally busloads of people show up. Bus pulls up and they call me. So what you have is a restaurant that is in large part designed to service that audience, the people who are coming in for the pre-theater, the people who are coming in for the nice lunch prior to the matinee performance. And so you have a restaurant, a menu that is built for speed. You have a menu that is not trying to trick anybody or make everybody ponder too much about what might be in the food. And it's a menu that also has to appeal to, say, people who are avid theater goers and even from the city and are used to a certain level of restaurant, and also people who, like I said, are coming in on the bus for a nice lunch before they go see whatever's playing at the theater.
So is this a lunch place, or do you eat dinner there, and what did you think?
They only serve lunch on matinees days, although they have added a Sunday brunch, and I like it quite a bit. They don't. They have things like they have like fun stuff like deviled eggs and a very nice hummus that is most remarkable because they have these really cool, heavily smoked carrots that are part of the hummus dish. So these roasted smoked carrots are just sit there and inhale over the dish for a couple of minutes. And then they have steaks because, again, Arnie Morton connection, but they make a point of having half the steaks are the reserve steaks, the little more dry-aged ones, the ones that are priced about what you expect to be priced at a steakhouse, and then others that are about 25% less, and they are not as, they're not going to be prime, but they're going to be a good steak, and now you're only paying $30 for one as opposed to paying closer to $50 for
one. Yeah, no kidding. Well, a lot of people have been asking for something like that all along. The name
of this... It's a tricky part. It's a tricky niche to fill.
Because if you go too cheap, then it's just a cheap steak, and if you go too expensive, then people can't afford it. So you want
exactly. You
want your steak and to be able to eat it too, if I may.
Nicely put.
Yeah, that's something you can use down the road if you need it. Okay,
I'm just writing this down. Hang on. Go ahead.
Stolp Island, STOLP, Stolp Island Social in Aurora. I'm going to pause. Come back with me in a second, Phil. Talk to me about the James Beard nominations, and do we have some Chicago representatives? Can you tell us a little bit about that? And if you've got a question for Phil, 312-981-7200. You know, I want to hear from you about the best place you know in the area. Maybe you're in Aurora, maybe you're in Chicago, wherever, for fish. What's the good, steaks, pizza, hot dogs, Chicago can talk about that all day long. Where's a good place to go for a fish dinner or a fish fry? Maybe Mary's got a recommendation, too. 312-981-7200. Phil Vitale is the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. Hey, Phil, somebody texted in a joke. Can I tell it to you?
Sure.
Hey, Phil, how do you catch a rare rabbit?
How do you catch a rare rabbit? I give up.
Unique up on him.
Ah.
See how that works, Steve?
Rare and unique. I
ask the first part, and then the other person goes, huh, I don't know. And then you let them say the second part.
And then you feign interest.
What's the matter, Mary?
I had a different answer.
Oh, hey, Mary, how do you catch a unique rabbit? I don't know what the question is.
By the hair.
By the hair.
Boom.
I like mine better.
Hey, Phil,
that's why Vaudeville died.
Are you still there, Phil? Any chance you're still listening to this radio station?
Just barely, yes.
Pat wanted to say something to you. Pat, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Pat?
Yes. Hi, John. Well, you know, it's Ash Wednesday, and being a good Catholic, I thought I would pass on the secret of how we make our holy water.
Oh, okay. How do you?
You boil the hell out of it.
Goodbye, Pat.
Happy Ash Wednesday.
Phil, tell me about the James Beard. Is it the regional nominees? What are we looking at here?
These are the James Beard Awards. Some of them are regional. Most are national awards. And today, the James Beard Foundation came up and announced the list of semifinalists. These are the people that are on the first ballot, which will be voted on to determine the finalists, which are the nominees, the top five in each category. And then they'll be voted on, and then on May 4th in Chicago at the gala, we will find out who won.
Are you
but
one
now
of the
we
voters?
Now we know who's on the ballot.
Yeah. Are you one of the people that gets to vote on this?
I get one vote, yes.
Okay. So did you vote preliminarily at this level as well?
I did not. When I was on the committee a few years ago, I was on the committee that helped put the ballot together, but I'm not anymore.
Okay.
And others are doing it just a fine job without me.
So who are the people that are at least on the ballot now? Who are we looking at here?
Well, the big names, as far as I'm concerned, Boca Restaurant is up for Outstanding Restaurant, which is a national award, and it's a nomination probably past due, but I'm glad they're on the ballot now. And Tsuko, Carlos Gaitan's new Mexican restaurant on State Street, has been named on as one of the best new restaurants of the year.
What's the name of that one again?
Tsuko, T-Z-U-C-O.
T-Z-U-C-O. What are they serving there? Sandwiches? What do they got?
That is fine dining Mexican. That is one of the best Mexican restaurants in the city, and by extension, in the country. It's fabulous.
Wow. Okay. Any other restaurants we should know about in the James Beard Award nominations?
Now I'm going to switch you over to the chefs, because it's more chef awards at this point. Sarah Gruneberg of Monteverde, the very lovely pastry shop, pasta shop, is up for Outstanding Chef, as she was last year. She was a semifinalist last year. Emily Sperlin of Lula Cafe is a first-time semifinalist for Outstanding Pastry Chef. In the Rising Star category, which is honor chefs who are 30 years or younger, Alicia Lenz of MFK and Barbisque restaurants is back on the ballot. Last year, she made the final five. And on for the first time is Janine Lamadou, who is the pastry chef at UGen.
I didn't know that pastry chefs was such a big deal. I mean, you've mentioned some of those names many times before with us, and I guess that's a category unto itself that gets attention, huh?
It is. It is. Chicago has an absolute bounty of talent in the pastry chef category. We are really really spoiled in this town. Oh. And those sweets, and especially as people are becoming more and more focused on seriously good quality bread, a lot of these pastry chefs are also running those departments as
well.
Oh,
I see. That makes sense then, too. By the way, Phil, if I may, just I wanted to mention some of the fish places that our listeners are championing. Can I mention a few to you?
Sure.
And some of these are little stops. Some of them are big stops. Mary, is there a place that you and your friends absolutely go to when you do your Friday fish fry tour?
We have gone to Stulgeon's. It's in Villa Park.
Right.
Park Tavern, I think they call it as well. S-T-U-L-G-E-N-S.
Stulgeon's.
Or G-I-N-S, yes.
John Don.
It's a bar.
which, you know, sometimes is the best place for a fish fry. John Don's Dock in Des Plaines. Best fish is Johnson's in Villa Park on Roosevelt Road.
Oh, that's super good, too.
For fish, it's got to be the Greek Islands. For a fish fry, it has to be the VFW or the American Legion. the Greek islands for fish. John, try in Brookfield, Irish Times at the Burlington Northern Metro station. You usually see Irish dancers on Fridays during Lent. Glenn's Diner on Montrose gets a nod right off the Brown Line. That's nice to know. And somebody else mentioned The Office. It says here in Wedron, W-E-D-R-O-N, Illinois, but I think that's a typo because I know of a restaurant called The Office, and I think that's in, what is it, St. Charles or Geneva? Is Wedron, Elif, you're saying that is it? W-E-D-R-O-N, best fish dinners all year round, and a salad bar that's all homemade, so much to choose from. Phil, you want to chime in? Fish places you like in the city or suburbs?
Well, there's Falstrom's on Belmont Road. That's very good. I always remember Calumet Fisheries this time of year down in the south side. One I've been getting excited about lately is called Porto. It's on the corner of Ashland and Chicago Avenues, and they're seafood with a particular emphasis on Portuguese preparation, and that's very good. You can't beat, for reliability, places like Shaw's Crab House, and I've yet to get into the new RPM Seafood, which Lettuce opened up on the banks of the Chicago River, but I'm hoping to soon.
So
oh, wow.
Has smelt gone away?
They've gone away from Lake Michigan.
Have they? Yeah, because it used to be a big deal. April 1st was always the opening of the season.
Right. And yeah, that's kind of, that has, yeah, the smelts have, they're gone. For all intents and purposes, and now if you see smelts on the menu, they've probably been plucked out of Lake Superior.
One of them had jumped out of the lake, and it was sitting there on the sand, and it was deteriorating, and you know what I said?
Something about smelt it, but okay.
Boy, that smelt bad.
Ah, there you go. I remember when I was in college, and smelt used to beach themselves by the hundreds.
Really?
on the shore of Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
I know because we had a dog who thought it would be a really cool idea to roll in them, and man, it took forever to get that smell out.
There's a restaurant I walked by the other day. They used to advertise here a lot, and it looks like they're still in business. Catch 35, which is right downtown, and I don't know much about that place. I'd eaten there before, but to be honest with you, I didn't have the fish. But I suppose that's a fish place that
absolutely. And they have last I looked, they had a location in Naperville, but maybe that's not there anymore. I got to look that up. That's good. Hugo's Frog Bar.
Oh yeah, right.
Is another one
right downtown as well.
Joanne and Naperville.
Joanne wanted to recommend a place. Joanne, you're on WGN. What do you like for fish?
Well, let me tell you something. I'm 86, but I'm talking about a fish boil.
Fish boil? Oh, yeah. Hey, shoot. I've been to a fish boil.
Now, yeah, it's in Genoa City, Wisconsin. Because I've been up to Door County, I've been all over Florida, I've been all over every place, but that's the best boil. They boil the potatoes. You can sit right out and watch them doing it.
Yeah, so is that what they do?
They get a big
kettle. They put the fish, what do they start with, the fish or the vegetables? But that's how it goes, right, Phil? They do have you been to fish boils, I presume?
Yeah.
They boil big carrots and potatoes, and I don't know if they put onions or celery in there, and then salt.
And then at some point, kerosene goes in, and they let the whole thing boil all over the place.
Exactly. Okay, any other notes from you, Phil, either on the James Beard side or good fish places you're digging these days?
Let's see. One of the big categories for us in James Beard is the Best Chef Great Lakes. That's a regional category that includes Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio. And there are 20 semifinalists, and 10 of them are from Chicago.
Wow.
So Ty Dang of Haisu, Brian Jupiter of Frontier, Gene Cato at Momotaro, Jason Hamill for the second time at Lula Cafe, Ethan Picas of Cellador Provisions, Noah Sandoval of Oriole, John Shields and Karen Uri Shields of Smith, Mario Russell of Kiko, Eric Williams in Virtue down in Hyde Park, and Lee Wolin of Boca. So that's nice for Boca. They have an outstanding restaurant, and they have their chef, Lee Wolin, up for the Best Chef Great Lakes category.
A quick note here from one of our listeners, John. It is The Office, and it is in Wedron or Wedron, W-E-D-R-O-N. It's about 5 miles northeast of Ottawa. It has excellent food. I'll tell you what, some of those small towns outside the Chicago area, like even outside the immediate collar counties, but when you get just a little further out, some of those small towns have a great little restaurant that folks drive from miles around to go to. And they aren't the kind of places you and I talk about. But someday, Phil, you and I ought to do those places. Let's list some of the great, you're driving around in Ottawa, Illinois, or someplace like that. Where's a real good restaurant to go to? I like the sound of that. How about you?
Yeah, it'd be a road trip.
Okay, so 312-981-7200. You can get started now. Call or text me with your suggestions along those lines, and then we'll feature them maybe next Wednesday when Phil visits with us. It's always a pleasure, Phil. Thanks for your time today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Phil Vitale is the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com/dining.